beautiful morning at 8:23. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome. We'll start as the hat of Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell. And then we'll move on to the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Fairhope.
Hope you had a nice weekend.
Oh, I had a wonderful weekend. I did a little work. I actually got in a round of golf yesterday. I think I have not stepped foot on a golf course. You know, I like to play golf. I had not played in 5 weeks. But with the Mayor's Invitational coming up, the big fundraiser for FIFA on Friday, I thought I better get a practice round in. So
absolutely. That's this Friday.
That's this coming Friday out at Quail Creek Golf Course.
Are there still spots available?
I am not certain. I don't know if they're full or not. You know, that's sometimes a sellout, but you could go to fifonline.org and check it out.
Okay. Well, speaking of golf, welcome back our former golf pro, Bobby Hall.
Absolutely. You know, and ironically, I had played golf at Lakewood yesterday afternoon, and I ran into Bobby Hall, who was playing in a tournament out there yesterday. So I got to have a nice long chat with him. And, you know, I think the city sure is fortunate to have him back out at Quail Creek. So if you haven't been out to Quail Creek Golf Course lately, go out there and get around a golf in. Tell Bobby Hall that Lori Dubose sent you.
Now, he had been in that position for, what, 10, 12, 14 years?
Probably at least that, yes.
And then left. Was it right due to the new Wilson administration?
Well, he went on to pursue another career. I think he retired from that profession and then went on to pursue another career. And I'll just say that he missed it, and he decided to come back when the opening presented itself to him.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at tonight's city council meeting. I don't see any huge, you know, controversial
there's not a lot
of interesting things.
Yeah, what in particular would you like to talk about, Lori? Well, what do you think the citizens want to talk about?
I've highlighted number six just to see that y'all are going to approve a memorial called the Eagle with Flag, dedicated to those families who have served and protected our safety and freedom. A private individual has stepped up to fund this.
Well, that's the intent, and we will vote to accept that gift. We talked about this in the last meeting, but once again, it does have the caveat that it will have to be a donation to the city. We're not planning on funding that memorial.
Okay, and it's going to be in front of the police department, and is a project from Bob Wetlich. Okay. Number seven, you and Mayor Sherry Sullivan are going to be authorized as voting delegates to represent the city at the Alabama League of Municipalities.
Right. Yeah, that's something pretty simple. You know, at the state convention each year, the Alabama League does have, you know, articles. Sometimes it has to do with their own internal rules and regulations that they so they make motions and they adopt resolutions. This would allow the mayor to be a delegate, and if she, in the event that she cannot be there for a vote, that I would be an alternate to vote in her place.
Number nine, a resolution establishing rules to govern the operation of the Fairhope Junior City Council.
Right, and this is something that's been around for 3 or 4 years now, and I think that we just changed the rules up just slightly. And they gave us a presentation, a very nice presentation at the last council meeting's work session, and excited to see the high schoolers that were participating in the Fairhope Junior City Council, and they already brought a project to us for approval, which is number 10. And it's only $226, but, you know, they want to paint the steps that go down from Henry George Park down the bluff, down to the pier area, the Rose Garden area. And so they have a really nice rendering of that. It looks like a sunset that'll be on the steps. And by the way, you didn't mention it, but in the work session, we're going to talk about the working waterfront presentation.
Oh, good. I didn't open the work session agenda, so
that's
thank
okay.
you for bringing that
up. Yeah, so
up.
That's kind of a big deal. And so we're going to be looking at the updated scope of work. Let me tell you, so the mayor has a big drawing or a big rendering of this proposed plan in her office, and council members can go in there by themselves or whenever they want. The mayor doesn't have to be there. We can go in there and sit in her office and make little notes and put little sticky notes on the drawing of comments, so that, you know, when we get in the meeting tonight, the staff will have a culmination of everybody's comments. And some may have commented, you know, on numerous items, and I think I commented. I made two or three small comments on there myself. So we hope to get that before the council for a vote to adopt the plan. So
tonight?
Well, not tonight, but maybe at the next meeting. That's the intent.
Will the plan be unveiled publicly again first? The first one created a stir.
Yeah, that's right. It will be unveiled. And, you know, and like I say, I think it'll be a little bit of an unveiling tonight when we discuss it as well.
Okay.
You might better ask the mayor that question tomorrow. She'll be better equipped to handle that as far as what will happen next on that. I just know that they are asking us to look at it and make any more comments, and us to bless it. I think they want us to give them a you know, an informal go ahead tonight. So
what are the major changes you're seeing on that? I know people spoke concerned about the Rose Garden, the circle, the parking, the bluffs.
Yeah, the Rose Garden will not change position, but it will change shape. It'll be plus or minus 10% of the size it is now. That's to accommodate a little bit of additional space between the drive that goes on the west side of the fountain. It'll be a little bit more green space between the pavement and the bay. It will be a new seawall on. Now there's some seawall repairs that are going to happen pretty soon on the south side, but those will be temporary. There'll be new, more permanent seawall on the south side. There'll be I forget what it's called. It's a little round seating area down on the south end of the park. ADA access on the south end of the park, so a little switchback, but they're not going to cut back the whole bluff. There's going to be an additional set of steps towards the south side, so instead of one on the south side of the road that goes down to the pier, there will be two sets of steps. And of course, the existing set of steps there will be renovated. There'll be new plantings along the bluff there. There'll be a lot of aesthetics improved on the pier itself. There will be new additional parking. There were some people that complained about the parking that was on the north side that was kind of on the water. Well, there'll be some additional parking on the north side of the circle, but it'll be on the east side of the road that goes out to the North Beach Park. So there will be a little bit more parking there. There's going to be a little bit wider. Traffic will flow a little bit better through there.
Restroom facilities on the South
new
Beach?
On the
South Beach end?
Yes, there will be new restroom facilities on the South Beach end. That is correct.
Good.
Yes.
Because there's a long way to go.
There will be more like a living shoreline along that area. There won't be a sandy beach. We got a lot of complaints about that. There will be one small area of beach on the extreme south end of the South Beach part, but it's already a little sandy beach right there, so that will remain. I know one of the comments that I had is, you know, as you approach the shoreline there, I kind of want it to be one of those you know, you think about an infinity pool where it looks like it just drops off into infinity. And I kind of want that, maybe a rocky ledge or something there, a shale or something. There's various materials that would go up to the waterline and just kind of drop off in a really nice, you know, beautiful setting there. But I like the living shoreline idea as well.
But the erosion is creating this necessity too, right? That and not having a public beach without pay when you've got the North Beach that requires pay.
Right.
Okay, we're speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell here on WABF. If you're tuning in to hear about the proposed bridge, Bayway Bridge, we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. And if you can't stay to hear the whole interview, remember you can listen to it later. Usually by lunchtime, it's posted at our new website, WABF1480.com. It is 8:33. There are two contract terminations, number 12 and number 13, terminating a contract entitled Natural Gas Distribution Pipeline Compliance and terminating a contract for 6 overhead doors for the fire station. Can you tell us what those are about?
Well, one of them, the number item 12, is just a duplication of effort. We had we have another contract that is going to take care of the services that were needed. And so we obviously don't need two contracts to perform the same task. So
refresh our memories. Didn't we have an issue with the gas department and the state had to come oversee? Refresh my memory.
Yeah,
the
gas department just got overwhelmed. You know, like I said, we're growing so fast. They got overwhelmed. They got, you know, a little bit behind. And so we had to go out and hire a contractor to help us just catch up with our workload. And we could have hired additional people, but that requires training, more equipment. It was just quicker to take care of that issue by going enter into a contract with somebody that does that, you know, professionally. It's not uncommon. Most cities do that anyway, and so we've been fortunate to not have to do that, but we finally got such a backlog, and we needed so much help that we had to go out and seek some help. And they'll get caught up pretty soon.
Okay. And then a way to address that was to increase the gas hookup fees for new construction.
Well,
is that right?
That was another issue. The gas fees was just something that had been lagging behind for several years. Mm-hmm. We were just trying to catch up with, you know, the 21st century in that and at least cover our costs for that. So one of the reasons you would do that to cover your costs is, you know, as we have to add additional labor because we are so busy, you know, we had to have a way to pay for that. And a lot of those were being done for either next to nothing or for nothing. So we needed a charge for these additional services that people wanted, especially in the residential world.
And the termination of the next one for the doors for the fire station, I see here it says due to bid being placed on hold last year from COVID.
Yeah. So what happened is it just expired, the bid.
Right.
So that it'll have to be put out for rebid, unfortunately. That's just state law. The contract period expired.
Number 14 and 15 for consulting, geological consulting services and professional engineering services. This is for water wells, and is this part of the infrastructure improvement package, if you will?
Well, you know, I'm going to ask some questions about this. I'm not as familiar with this one. A lot of times when they say a new well, you know, it's at a well field. Sometimes they're just rebuilding components, and it sounds like a new well when it's really just new well equipment. So,
and it's only $18,300.
Right, which kind of tells me it's not, you know, going out to a new location. And
okay.
It says it mentions a certain well field. So,
okay. And I know in many cases you're not briefed until the work session.
Yeah, that's right. We will get a little you know, update on that. I know that we've talked about this for, I'd say quite a while, but it's probably been several months since we've been briefed on this.
And looks like some budgeted items for new vehicles, tractors, mowers, vehicles for the police department, sewer department. Those are up on the agenda, all approved.
Right.
I mean, those are in the budget, right?
Yeah, those are all approved in the budget. Like we always say when we pass the budget, we always have another bite at the apple. And so that would be items 16 through 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or just budgeted items, vehicle purchases, as you mentioned.
21 is an unbudgeted scanning software called Laserfiche to convert paper files to digital, $30,835. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, this was discussed. I could have swore that we had already paid for this. This was just a way to, you know, eliminate a lot of our paperwork, and then also when you can scan it and put it in a computer, you can find these files a lot easier. And we have to keep a lot of our paperwork on file for years and years and years. So this will take it'll scan the software, and it'll turn it into it'll scan the paperwork and turn it into digital files. And it's just something that is needed. As you can imagine, the amount of paperwork that a city might generate.
Planning department told me some ridiculous amount. I can't remember it, as they have to keep so much.
Yeah, it's cheaper. It's cheaper to scan it and put it on a drive as opposed to building additional warehouses to store the paper.
22 and number 22 is creating a temporary job position for a purchasing manager trainee, which you also did in the horticulture plant department.
Right.
Is that because you've got a long-term employee retiring?
We know that the position is going to be vacated, and when we get a heads up like that, you know, it's just prudent to allow for someone to come in and train under the department head now, and if they work side by side, the transition will go much, much smoother, and I think that it easily pays for the additional pay for, in this case, not longer than 8 months. So it'll make that transition. They will learn from the person running the department right now.
And number 23 is to take the recommendations from the Street and Traffic Committee for a crosswalk at Nichols Avenue due to increased pedestrian traffic between Hope Farm and the Fairhope Brewery. Total cost only $5,214.
Yeah, that is once again, you know, at the last meeting, I really gave some kudos to the Public Works and our Water and Sewer Department for stepping up and taking on the repairs at the Fairhope Pier. And we ought to touch on that. But,
yes.
You know, we had I'll finish up this. This is the last item on the agenda for tonight's meeting, is that Street and Traffic Control Committee met many weeks ago. And when we were looking at what was needed at the Nichols Avenue, it's just east of Highway 98 in the Hope Farm area, which is across the street from the Fairhope Brewing Company. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic there. There's a lot of speeding there. And so in that meeting, we realized that we were not going to be able to come up with a solution. So we authorized the mayor to form a task force to come up with recommendations. The task force provided those recommendations to us at the last work session. The council liked what we heard. And so therefore, with city labor and us basically just paying for the cost of the equipment there, we're going to put in new crosswalk, LED lights, and lighted pedestrian signs at a cost of $5,214. So that's what happens when government works together, Lori. Seems like such a small thing, but it's really not. It's just an indication of how I believe well the government's working right now, is when the staff members and the mayor's office and the city council all work together. You know, something just as simple as this, it goes pretty smoothly, and we come up with a good resolution. And to that end, you know, this was also the case with the pier repairs. You know, we really need to get those pier repairs made, and we were getting estimates of $250,000 to $260,000, and the council gave a little pushback two meetings ago, and so, you know, the mayor heard the pushback, the staff heard the pushback, they got together, they came up with a game plan, they brought it to the council, we blessed it, and instead of spending $250,000 to $260,000, we are now going to spend, we appropriated up to $50,000, but the one expense we know is $31,000. That's what happens when you work together.
Save a ton of money.
Yes.
Comparatively speaking, this crosswalk at Nichols, is it going to be like the LED one on section across from the police department that cost, what, over $100,000?
Yeah, I don't believe that it is. I can't remember. I believe we asked that question,
but
if they were going to have the LED
the
lights.
Public Works had a learning curve on that one, and
right.
Y'all said we're not contracting.
Yeah, we're not
that
happy
anymore
about those, but they're going to be fixed soon. We keep hearing, and you know, I drive there, and I always stop for pedestrians. And I ask everybody, you know, going down North Section Street, to please, you know, drive slow. And give the right of way to those pedestrians, because they're trying to push that button and they don't understand that those lights are not working now. And you know, and although when they do work, you can't really see them in your crossing unless it's
right.
Nighttime. In daytime, you can't see them.
I hate to be a naysayer, but should two private businesses that locate across the street from each other and cause this pedestrian problem, should they be fiscally responsible to solve it instead of the city?
Well, not really. I mean, because if you look at the congestion on North Section Street, that was also caused by private businesses.
Okay.
But we have to give them public access. The streets are a public right of way, and in fact, I don't believe we would allow private businesses or citizens to make improvements to the public streets in the city of Fairhope. Just like, we're not allowed to make improvements to private property. So I think just with the additional businesses there and the additional revenues that they generate, that we are obligated to provide for safe passage for their customers.
And that's not really any difference than, say, a proposed apartment complex or development.
Nope.
They do a traffic study, but if adjustments have to be made, is that the responsibility of the city or the county?
Only occasionally, but this is clearly on our property.
Okay.
And, let me tell you that we were, I spoke to Lee Webb, who's the, he is the chairman of the Industrial Development Board in the city of Fairhope. They're not always active, but we had some conversations took place over the weekend with some of the businesses down there, and we talked about reviving an idea that we brought up, about 4 years ago, and that was to create that warehouse district. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And we were just going to make that just a kind of another business area of town, highlighting that we have a little light industrial space there. And with Hope Farm there, you have a restaurant, but you also have a little bit of a small farming operation in that they have containers.
Center,
it's the agriculture,
sure, yeah. Hydroponic.
Hydroponics. Thank you. I was searching for that word.
I get it.
So that's a little bit of a light industrial application. And I hear that they may be wanting to look at some more applications. And so I think it would be nice to kind of jazz up that area with maybe some an archway going into that area, just kind of draw some attention to that area of town and see if we can't grow the businesses in that area. As well. Downtown is getting very congested, and while we always want to preserve downtown, downtown's doing real well right now, it is okay to focus on other areas of town and enhance them.
Have you noticed on the City of Fairhope app that we've been having what appears to be a lot of water main breaks? There's no water on this street for a few hours, water main break. It seems to be happening a lot. Is it because we now know about it? Or what's going on?
I have not seen that on the app, but I've heard it firsthand from the water department. I've even seen employees out, early in the morning and whatnot, just going to water main break. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe we'll find out tonight. But I know for the last several weeks, they've been just putting out fires day after day after day, and it is a little odd. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't know if we've introduced more pressure in the system or what, but it's odd. Well, we can ask that
question
tonight.
That. Okay,
sure.
All right. It is 8:46 now. WABF. Anything else you want to mention regarding Fairhope and the Fairhope City Council before we put on the hat of you being the chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization and the press conference today at 1 with Mobile Mayor Simpson as well as Congressman Carl about a possible toll bridge?
The only thing I would mention is that we still have Arts and Crafts Festival on the books for the end of April. That's a little bit over a month away. I believe that we're fortunate and a lot of people are getting vaccinated, and our COVID numbers continue to decline, although if you saw about 5 or 6 days ago there was one huge spike and they said that was the state catching up with a backlog of unreported cases, but if you take that number out of it, the 7-day average, the 14 day average continue on a downward curve, which is very, very good. So
yeah.
I'm hopeful that we're going to have an Arts and Crafts Festival at the end of April.
It would take a vote to not have it.
It would take a vote to not have it right now because currently the plans are to have it.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a press conference today at the Five Rivers Delta Resource Center today at 1 o'clock to discuss a new concept to relieve traffic congestion on I-10 and the Bayway, leaving existing routes toll-free. I heard you say over the weekend on a TV interview that a new route would be created and toll trucks.
That's the concept that's being pitched right now. Lori, I do want to preface everything I say that these are just proposals. These are not written in stone. The Eastern Shore MPO has not placed this project back on the tip, although I hope that we do soon. We need to do that so that the Alabama Department of Transportation can move forward with plans.
What is the TIP?
The Transportation Improvement Plan.
Right.
All of these federal highway plans need to be, if it affects our local metropolitan area, which is the Eastern Shore, Daphne, Fairhope, Spanish Fort, and Loxley. So we have to approve them. And, we actually had it on our tip up until just over a year ago when we voted to remove it from our tip, when we learned more about the plans and the tolls that were being proposed and the potential for not having a toll-free route. So the plan that's being unveiled today will show... It'll show a three-phase project, and once again, I'm going to say again that these are preliminary ideas. These are not to be taken as the final. There will be public hearings. There will be public input periods where we will be able to hear from the citizens, both on the Mobile side of the bay and the Eastern Shore. And we're going to take that input, and hopefully it'll be an iterative process. Until we can come up with a plan that we can all live with. Your question about tolling trucks, yes, that is what you will be hearing. That is what is being proposed right now. Now, I asked the question, would it always be that way? Because what if you are a passenger vehicle? When I say trucks, we're talking large trucks, not your panel trucks, not your small box trucks. These would be, 18-wheelers, and I forget what class of trucks they call them. There's a couple of classes, the two large classes of trucks. If you're a trucker and you know what that is, maybe 3 and 4 or 4 and 5, one of those. Lori, I'm not an expert on that. But anyway, they would be prevented from going through the Wallace Tunnel and the Bankhead Tunnel. Those would only be open to passenger vehicles. And I asked the question, well, are the trucks really that much of the problem in the tunnels? And ALDOT came back and emphatically said, yes, they are the problem. They are what slows the traffic down. So if we can remove them from those routes, it will remove the vast majority of the problems which cause the congestion, and then to everybody, at least on this side of the bay, concerns about the tolls, the Bayway and the Causeway will remain toll free. So will you be able to use the new bridge? I believe the answer to that would be no. And so I asked the question, well, what about, 15 or 20 years into the future, would passenger cars be able to use the toll? Because if you just want to pay it, should you be able to? And I think it comes down to a safety issue. So I think that might come along in some of the later phases, once they get the bridge completed and then an elevated roadway completed, adding additional capacity, but not at first, because mixing all those trucks with a few cars is, as I've been told, an unsafe situation.
Who's paying for this project or this proposal?
I was asked that question by the news anchor last night, and I believe that it would be, it's not going to be a PPP or a public-private partnership. They are, as far as I know, they are not considering concessionaires. That was a big term used over a year ago. Mm-hmm. We have $125 million in federal money, and then we will have to match that with state money. So I believe that we would have to have a bond issuance by the state of Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not an expert on that either, Lori, but I believe that's the way it would work. And then the tolls collected would go back to pay back the bond.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you know the lifespan of the current Bayway Causeway? That was brought up in the past, and
yeah.
What do we do next? Temporary bandage doing a truck a bandage?
Well, we're running up on the end of life of that, or what was projected to be. That bridge is now I think it's about 50 years old right now. And we think we have another 15 or 20 years, and they'll have to reassess at that time. But yes, it is potentially an issue if that bridge was to be condemned before another elevated roadway was built. we would be in a world of hurt. And that is something that's being discussed, which is why they really do not want to take the option to have the elevated roadway, which would be in this new project, would be phase three of this project, and probably would not get underway for another 10 to 15 years.
Okay, I'm sorry. So phase one would be the new bridge for trucks.
The phase one is actually the first span of the new bridge, because there were going to be two spans, one east and one west.
Okay. Okay?
And initially, they would have to share, east and west would have to share one, okay. I think, three-lane bridge, Lori. It may be four lanes. They may stretch it out into the emergency lanes and make it four. So three. Let's just call it three or four-lane bridge. The second phase would be the second span of that bridge. So they would be side by side. And also in the first phase, they would lay the footings for the second bridge, because they would be there laying footings. It only makes sense to go ahead and plan for the next phase. The second phase would be the second span, and then the third phase would be the new elevated roadway that would run side by side with the existing bayway.
Okay. All right. What else would you like to tell us, or should we wait till 1 o'clock and find
out?
Well,
you know, I'm afraid that I may have stolen the thunder from a lot of my cohorts. I probably shouldn't have given so much detail in that meeting, with the interview last night. But you know me, Lori. If you ask me a question, I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability. And I kind of tossed and turned last night in bed and said I probably should have just saved some of that thunder, because, you know, we do have a partnership with Mobile, and we have a partnership, you know, with our congressman and all of our state delegation. And, you know, I kind of got caught in a weak moment and asked those questions, and I don't ever like to run from the media. So I thought I was going to be asked questions about the meeting, and instead I was asked questions about the project. So,
right.
And that's why I'm answering them today, because I've already answered them last night. So I'll go ahead and answer them again today, get in trouble again.
Repeat after me. No comment.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I know that's hard for you, and we do appreciate your transparency. Just about out of time. Anything else you want to mention? Maybe welcoming Jay Robinson to the city
council?
Yeah,
you know.
And have you had any pushback from that?
Well, only from just, you know, one person and a few of the people that one person associates with. But I've heard nothing but really positive comments. You know, as I said, when Jay had his last meeting back in I guess it was in October of 2020, you know, how sad I would be to see him go, and just what an asset he is, what a great council member he was, and we're just very, very fortunate to have him back. And, you know, Jay shed some light on why he didn't run. Also, you know, his wife was pregnant with their fourth child.
And she had
and I didn't know, I'm not saying what he didn't say in the meeting, that she had some health issues, and so he had some concerns over that. He had to worry about his family and his new daughter and everything, the mom and baby are fine. And once he got past that hurdle, he realized that, you know, he could, he did miss serving, and that he could serve, but not knowing he erred on the side of caution. He erred on the side of taking care of his family. And so once he got through that hurdle, you know, he was in the clear. So that was his explanation, and we accept it. And we are going to miss Robert Brown tremendously. Robert, I believe, was also just a great council member. He just had a way about him that was very easy going. He was always to the point. He was always honest and told people, what he felt in his heart.
And I think Jay does as well. Gives, you know, a legal expertise to the perspective,
right.
Which I think is very important.
It really is. You know, as a council member also, it's really great to have an additional lawyer. I say additional because we have, you know, a city attorney, and we have a team of lawyers that we rely on that we do talk to fairly often. But it's nice to have someone that sits up there on the dais with that legal competency, such as Jay, to bounce things off of. So that is really a good, you know, that makes the council very well-rounded.
Yes. Thank you, Jack, for your time, which we're out of our time.
And thank you.
Unless you want to stick around for
I've got a pretty busy day today, so I'm going to run.
Okay. Thank you
so thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you, Fairhope.
Fairhope City Council, is it 6 tonight? Work session at 4:30. You can see it all at the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel. You can also listen to this late interview.